Hey, I want you guys to know that I officially became into the group of Mount Salem Baptist Church this week. You know, understand what I'm saying? I got my AARP card in the mail. Thank you very much. I appreciate y'all welcoming me into the family. Got my own number and everything, right? Does this get me all kind of discounts? I can go to Wendy's now or something and get 20% off, 10% off. Can I do that? All right, if you have your Bibles, turn when we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be in the final chapter of Philippians. I know it's taken us a while to get here, but we're reaching the end. Today we're going to be talking about, as Paul transitions in the letter, from where he's been talking about all the external stuff that happens as pressure is put on the world from the on the church from the outside from the world. He's going to talk about the inside pressure that we have inside the church today. We're going to get a glimpse of that, and then we're going to talk about the final four things that he talks about over the next 4 weeks. So we'll begin that next week, and so there'll be four more messages starting next week. So there's five after today until we finish the book of Philippians. So up to this point, we've been talking about all the stuff that happens. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about how we get our lives going in a direction that God wants us to, and then all of a sudden it seems like our world is turned upside down. It seems like everything that we have, we step out of our comfort zone and we go to do what God, we feel like God calls us to do next, or we try to be a better person, or we try to deepen our relationship with Him. And as soon as we try to do that, all the stuff that we thought was all together in the world begins to fall apart. And on top of that, a lot of times, then we get external pressures from the things of the world. In other words, out of the blue, stuff just starts happening to us. You ever notice that? Whenever you try to go deeper, step outside the circle, this kind of stuff happens. And when you start to grow as a church, things start to happen as well. So as we start to grow spiritually and we grow deeper, remember, a tree root grows deeper. As it grows deeper, that allows the tree to grow wider. So as we continue to grow wider as a church because we've decided to deepen our faith, then there's going to be start not only external pressures that are applied on our lives, but internal pressures which are applied to our lives, okay? And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. What we're talking about is a case within the Church of Philippi where they're dealing with discord, where they're dealing with stuff that people on the inside of the church are having trouble with people on the inside of the church. That never happens, does it? No, that never happens. He says this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, which is what we're going to cover today. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." So he's wrapping up what he said. He says, "Therefore." Remember, a therefore is in Scripture to give us a kind of a connecting point from what he's been talking about to what he's about to talk about next. So he says, in summary of everything that I've already told you right here, you need to take this, and whom I love you guys, and you're my brethren, you're my joy, you're my crown, and stand firm in the Lord. I urge Eudodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you, so really there's three people he's talking to here. Understand this. It's hard to get sometimes. He's talking to Eudodia. He's talking to Syntyche. He's talking to a true companion, which he does not name. And then there's a fourth, which is the entirety of the church. He says this, I ask you also to help these women who have shared in my struggle in the cause of the gospel together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So he's saying here, look, we're a family of believers. We're a family of believers. Now, the deal is that every single one of us have a different personality. Have you ever taken a personality test? Have you ever looked at that before in your life? There are certain aspects about who you are that identify you. Now, look, they do that as a group collectively, all right? We're put into different groups based upon our personality types and things like this. And so sometimes, I don't know if you understand this or not, there are personality types that don't get along with other personality types. Never heard that before? All right, so you've got someone like me, all right? I'm what's called a what? What'd you say? Yeah. I'm an extrovert. I'm a fun-loving person, but I'm also what they call a type A. I like to do things. I have a checklist. I want to get them done. So when stuff comes on my plate or you ask me to do something, I want to go do it and be done with it so I don't have to think about it anymore because I'm moving on to the next, all right? Then there are some of you guys who are extremely detailed persons, All right. I kind of hit the high of the mountaintops on details. Okay. But you dig deep in the details and you want to know exactly how everything's going to go and exactly when everything's going to happen and exactly when everything's going to end. Are you going to be done at 12 o'clock PM every Sunday? That's what we want to know. I mean, you know, you want to know your life is measured out in increments that way and you keep up with it really, really good. You know what? You people drive people like me crazy. All right. You drive me crazy because you know what? I'm going, hey, we want to go do this. Let's go do this. Let's go have a good time. Let's enjoy life. Let's move like this. And you're going, how are we going to do this? How are we going to pay for that? When's this going to happen? Okay. There's going to be a transition point right here. How are we going to transition from here to there? What are the A, B, C, D, E, F, G's of how you're going to operate this? You're going to put this plan into place. How's that all going to happen? And I'm going, you're blowing my mind. It's like, you know what I mean? And so when we live like this and when we understand this, we can move together as a congregation. Because I want to tell you this. What they've done is they've personality grouped people up. And then what they allowed them to do is they put them in big rooms together. And they allowed people to get together with other people. And what they found is if you put two or three or four type A people, you can't get anything done. Because everybody wants to be the boss. All right? You know, because you only have one leader, right? So if you put a group of type A people together, then guess what? You can't get anything done because everybody wants to be the boss. You put a group of people who are extremely detailed together and you can't get anything done. You know why? Because no one can formulate the plan. Nobody comes up with the big idea that they need to decipher out into piece by piece by piece by piece by piece. So they have all these pieces together, but they have no plan. So the reality is that we need every single one of us in the group. So if you take someone who's loving and compassionate and caring and merciful, and you hook them together with someone who's detail-oriented, and you hook them together with someone who wants to have fun, and you hook them together with someone who's a leader, and you put them all in a room together, and you put together a plan, and you come out with it, it has all the aspects that you need for us to be able to grow. Now, guess what? There are points and times in that whole process where people that are in that group are not going to get along with each other about certain things. Because they're not going to possibly be in firm agreement about how that's going to go. Maybe some of the details were left out. Maybe this, that, or the other. And this is where the rubber meets the road for us. This happens all the time in churches. All the time in churches. And in my personal church life and in my personal ministry, I've seen this actually implode places before. I'm going to give you one perfect example for me. In one of the ministries involved in the church, one of the church plants. Now, I don't know if I've ever told you this, and I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you this is what God did, okay? So when we planted our second church plant, the first Easter, we had 60 people. Second Easter, we had 120 people. Third Easter, we had over 250 people in a worship service. All right, this was a church plant. I was part-time, I was bivocational, and we were blowing and going through the roof. We had all the ministries moving. People were, it was amazing. I wasn't even full-time, I was part-time. We didn't have even full-time employees, and we were running over 250 people in worship. This is what God was doing. Then all of a sudden during the summer, we found out that someone got a new job in one of our ministries. And because of that new job, they weren't going to be able to be over their ministry in that place every single week like they should. So we brought somebody else in to work with them. Different personality type. And I said, you're the leader. You're the assistant. Make this work. Because I'm not into details. All right. I didn't manage that extremely well. They didn't get along. And because they didn't get along, discord began to happen. This is kind of the thing I think that's happening right here. This church is a church that Paul loves. This church did great and mighty things. In the next few weeks, we're going to see some awesome stuff that this church did. And how it's even mentioned, he even uses the church at Philippi as an example to other churches as he's writing letters. He is that in love with the people that are here. He's seen how they got started. It's an eclectic group of people. Remember, there's a rich lady that was involved in this, and there's a jailer that was involved in this. There was a demon-possessed girl who he released from that, and they're all involved in this. They're involved in this church plant, this start of what's going on, this ministry, and they're seeing explosive growth. They're seeing them be able to move in this community and make a difference. And now what? Now people inside the church aren't getting along with each other. In that particular case in the ministry where I was at, things began to spin out of control. And within 6 months, the whole ministry had imploded. Everybody that was involved, both the leaders were gone. Both the leaders that were gone. And there was a bunch of people on both sides of the issue that left with them. In fact, one of the leaders within another 6 months after that was divorced. It was a big deal. It was a lot of different things that were circulating on, and we couldn't, it just got too big. It was spinning out of control. Our church, the next Easter, barely ran 200, and then from that point on, we were basically in the 150 range and just kind of got stuck there. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm saying we're talking about a church that was growing and growing and growing and growing. And because two people could not get along together, and because that discord between them spread to other people in the church, and everybody began to take sides on who they were going to follow and who they were going to be behind and all these things, then when it truly came down to trying to mesh that and make that go together, they still couldn't get together. So they both left and they took the people with them. This kind of stuff happens all the time. That's why Paul is writing to us in this letter, so that we can learn how to deal with discord and what he says to us scripturally. Now look, there's some things that are spoken to us here in the word, and there's other things that we know that are inferred or told to us as we read other writings that Paul has given us, that where he puts this all together for us in pieces. So let me take that with us. The first thing I want you to see is that he's firm but fair. He's firm but fair. He's firm with both of these people. He calls them out by name, but he's fair, and he says he doesn't call them out by name and take one side or the other, does he? He's firm with both of them. They're both treated equally, and they're both uplifted. Our job is to build each other up congregationally. He says this to us in Philippians 1:27. He said, remember this, only conduct yourselves in a manner of the worthy of the gospel, so that whenever I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you and you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. If we're not all on the same page, if directionally within here we all have our own ideas of what we think should go on, that is not congregationally us moving forward. That is individually us trying to do what we want to do. And as if I do that, I can mess this up. If leaders do this within the church, leaders can mess this up. If teachers do this within the church, teachers can mess this up. If other people that are on staff do this within the church, they can mess this up. We all have to be on the same page, flying in the same direction. Remember, he's already said this to us. I gave you the illustration a few weeks ago about the ducks that fly together. You see the geese that are, as they move, there's one out front and everybody's what? Everybody else is flying in some kind of formation. And then somebody else takes over and takes the lead sometimes, and the other one rotates out. That's what I'm talking about here, the togetherness and the team that has to be, and the mentality that I know this. We know this. I've given you an example in my ministry history. I know that Mount Salem has gone through this. So as we go through this, what we have to do is to see if we've been through this on both of our parts. We have to see where the mistakes were made and then try to also come alongside them and make sure that they don't happen again. So we affirm each other, we build each other up, even when there's times when we're in personalities or whatever may be going on, there's conflict within our body, conflict within who we are. Okay, so that's the first thing he says. He was firm, but he was fair. The second one, and that's the one that's really most important in this, is the importance of harmony. There are three things that go on here, and he gives this to us. He says to us that we are to reconcile with each other, to be in agreement, and then there must be help. Look at the way that we say, I'm going to read this passage again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy, my crown, this I stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, this is the third person he's talking to, I ask you also to help these women who have shared in my struggle and in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement, also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. We're all on the same team. All the names here are written in the book of life. We're all believers and followers of Christ. So as we have differences, we need to maintain harmony within the church. That means we need to reconcile the situation. He tells these two ladies, get it together. All right? And then we need to be in agreement. So you not only do you need to reconcile it together and get it together, you need to be in agreement with each other. That's not where we just go, okay, I still don't like you, but whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever, you win this one. Pastor took your side. Deacons made this decision. We'll lift the fight another day. You know, it's not going to be any of that kind of stuff. It can't be any way, shape, form, or fashion like that. If there's a direction in which we're going in, the whole team should be flying in that direction. And when there's discord there, I want you to see something in a few minutes. It's going to lead to something broader if we don't do this. If we don't reconcile this and if we don't come to some sort of agreement about what's going on, then there's not going to be any way that we move forward. And if we can't move forward, then we're going to be stuck. And if we're stuck, we're not helping anybody. So there's agreement that needs to come, but then there's help. There's a third person here that gets involved. And Paul calls him out. He doesn't give us the name, but he calls him out and says, you need to be helping these folks. I don't know who he's talking about here specifically, but then later on he says, you know, get them involved. And if you need to get Clement involved, and if you need to get the whole church involved, that's whatever it takes. That's what we need to be thinking about. That's how we need to be looking at this. Whatever it takes to fix this so that we can move forward, that's what we need to be doing. We don't do this. Why? Because we lack something. You know what we lack? We lack communication. Communication. We don't like it when we have to express what we think or come. Some people don't like to talk. I know it's hard for me to believe that some people don't like to talk, but some people don't like to talk. So you don't communicate at all. You don't express what's going on inside of you so that people around you will know what's going on. There's no way that you can come to reconciliation if you don't know what's going on. Some of us live in fear. We're going to fear that we're disappoint somebody, that people won't like us, that somebody might not take our side on this or see where we're coming from. And so out of fear, we say nothing. It grows. The gap widens. Some of us are a front. We're bold. And we just like overpower other people. There are people in this room that you can literally overpower other people when you walk in. Well, I didn't want to say nothing because such and such was in the room. And you know how that goes. You need to understand your personality. I'm type A. I can truck right over you. And I'll go boop, boop, and keep right on going. And if I want to, sometimes I'll put it in reverse and you can hear the beep, 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 and I'm coming back at you. I'm making a point. I'm making a point here. You got to step back. Every decision is not yours to make. You want me to make a decision in your life? I can make a decision. Ask tomorrow. Any question or comment or things that you need to help you decide on, just come to me. I'll give you an answer. I don't know if it's right, but it may help you out. Makes me feel better. I've got to step back. There needs to be wisdom here. There needs to be what's called discernment here so that we use this and do this in the right way. That's why Christ tells us to come along. If two people are fighting and fussing, what does he say? They need to go to a third person, an arbitrator, a mediator, someone that both sides can feel comfortable talking to that will give them the proper type of wisdom and spiritual guidance that's needed biblically. This is how we deal with this. So if we have this stuff going on, we can't be chirping in the back about who's right and who's wrong, who got their feelings hurt, who didn't. We need to be reconciling this. We need to be getting to an agreement on this. And then we need the help of other people so that we can put this stuff behind us and move forward. Okay? So this is the second thing he says. So first thing was firm but fair. The second thing is the importance of harmony in this. I want to say this one thing right here before I move on. I'm going to give you two scriptures right here. How many times has it been said in church, I don't care if they leave or not. They can just pack their stuff and go. Nobody likes them anyway. Somebody does. Do you understand? Every time that someone has ever left the church that I have been a part of and upset about something, somebody else has gone with them. We don't think they're going to go with them because nobody's crazy enough to believe what they were saying and do what they were doing, right? Wrong. They have friends. They have relationships. People see things from the aspect of the way they see. Their personality type may be like them. And we don't ever see that. So we think that we can just cut it out of the body. I mean, what? Think about this. If you cut off a finger, the whole hand doesn't function the same way anymore. So you just can't do without part of something and just think that operationally you're going to go on about your business and be okay. And then you don't realize what takes place when that happens and how deeper it may be. Because you may not need to just remove that. Next thing you know, the whole hand's gone. Because you didn't realize how deep or embedded it was. So let's look at the scriptures that he gave us in harmony. He says, now that the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant to you to be in the same mind with one another in accord with Jesus Christ, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He also says this in 2 Corinthians 13:11. He says, finally, brethren, rejoice and be made complete. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace. And the love of God and peace will be with you. That's three different groups of churches. He's essentially said the same thing to. So do you think that this stuff takes place all the time? Yes, it takes place all the time. Third thing I want you to see is this. One is always less than the sum. One is always less than the sum. If we keep this aspect in our lives, if our country, if our culture kept this aspect, think of where we would be. How many people does it take to complain about something now till you get the aspect our laws changed in our country? It takes one person. Out of 300 plus million, if one person doesn't like something, then they can take that up, they take that mantle, so other people get behind them. Next thing you know, the whole course of everything's changed. One person. One is always less than the sum. We live like we're the most important thing. And what we think and the way we go and how we live and who we are, that's the most important thing. There's people that have been a part of this church all their lives. There's some of you who've been here just a very short period of time. The reality is that some people can think because they've been here all their lives, they're more important than the person that's only been here for a short amount of time. It's not that way in God's eyes. But just as much, the person who's been here a short period of time can't think that they're going to come in and change the course of 100, 200 years of history of who an identity of a church is because they think differently and because they want to do something differently. This happens all the time with a pastor. Pastor comes in and the way a church is going and what it's doing rips the whole underpin out of it, doesn't work, and then they what? That didn't work. I'm out of here. Then the church is left in disarray because everything that they thought that they knew is different. This happens all the time. One is never the sum. It's always less than the sum. And if we think about this in the church life, if we think about this in our personal lives, if we think about this in where we work, if we think about this culturally, then it will transform how things are done. Why? Because if you realize that you're just part of something and not the something, then you will try to fit in and find out how to make it all work. But if you think you're the it, and that you can change the course of things just because of who you are and what you say, then you're the one. And in Christianity and in the life of Christ, that is so unchristian. Because Christ said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. So if we always think of ourselves as just a part or a piece of that, then that's the way it's going to get done. And then we need everybody around us to be on the same page so that we can move forward. Think about this in life. Think about this as teachers in school if we took this mentality and this aspect and didn't look for one person to do all the things or everything. We have a president. Like him, not like him, whatever. It doesn't matter. He's one human being. One. Hey, didn't like or like the last guy. Guess what this guy's doing? He's undoing everything he did. Everything that he could do by himself, he is undoing it by himself. What is that getting us? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because the next guy or lady that comes in after that, guess what they're going to do? Same thing. What they can do and the power of their ability, they're going to go and undo what the person before them done, just to spite them. That's not leadership. That's not guidance. That's not direction in who we are in Christ. So let's look at this. One is never greater than the sum. Here's what you need to see. Discord leads to dissension. Dissension leads to division. That's our path. If we don't fix this, the discord that's between the two of us leads to dissension. On my case, I don't know about how it was here. In my case, they didn't like each other. And they sure don't like each other now. That discord between the two of them led to dissension. And then it led to division. I cannot be here with this person here. So I'm out. And the other person said, well, if they're leaving, I'm leaving. So the discord led to dissension between the two individuals, which led to division within the church. And guess what? We call those, what do we call those in churches? Splits. A lot of them call them church plants.
You were a church plant?
Yeah, that's right.
But not for that reason.
Not for that. Yeah, they call that church multiplication. Have you ever gone through a church and seen First Baptist and then gone down the road and seen the First Baptist? Hey, you can go to Loganville. And in Loganville, you have the First Baptist Church of Loganville. And then down the road, you have First Baptist of Loganville. Now, I know the guy that lived through that. He's a great guy. He helped us start our church. It was the toughest time in his life. But we see this kind of stuff all the time. Something new begins, but is it really new? Or is it just part of what used to be a whole? Our life in Christ should be about being one. So when I say one is greater than the sum, then you come back on the flip side of that and said the sum equals one. So that's what keeps us together, is that we realize that we're better together than we are apart. And I'm not going to always get my way. That's not what church life is all about. The pastor always getting his way. Church life is not all about the deacons getting their way. The church life is not all about a leader within a ministry getting their way. It is us collectively looking at this holistically as a body and who we are, who our identity is, who we are in Christ, and being that. And when that happens, that's when God gets a hold of something. I want you to know something. And that church plant, up until that time, everybody been on the same page. And in 2009, that's when this happened, in 2009, in the first 9 months, in the first 9 months, that church plant baptized 26 people. So much so that the next year, that the Southern Baptist Convention was writing me letters and going, "How'd you do this?" And I wanted to go, "I don't know," but it all just blew up in my hand. 26 people. You know what I mean? We baptized the next year? 4. 4. This is what it does. It kills the spirit of the body. And that's what we must always be looking out for. The spirit of the body. I just lost half my message. There it comes. All right. So the last thing I want to give you is the scripture. This is 1 John 4, verse 7, verse 11, and then verse 19 through 21. I want you to see the progression of this. Of course, you would read this all together. I'm just picking out the parts of it here to see this. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." There's the admonition for both of us. God loves us, and the love that we have comes from him. So if we're born of God and we know God, then we should be loving one another. "We love one another because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he's not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also." This is of utmost importance. We talked about the fact that this is primacy of the gospel. That the whole point of this book that he is writing, this letter that he has written, is to tell us the most important things about the gospel. Harmony is what moves us forward. Discord cannot be left alone. It must be dealt with before it leads to dissension and before it leads to division. We've both experienced this. It's heartbreaking to be on the other side of it. There's a lot of pieces that have to be picked up. It can affect a congregation, not for just a few weeks, and not for just a few months, but it can affect us for years. My heart still breaks from 2009. Because I was sitting there the whole time going, "Lord, help me to get out of the way from this. Hands off the wheel, whatever country song you want to sing. Let me stay out of this. You take control. You have done this, this, and this, and I am watching you in the midst of this baptize people weekly." Phew. Change the whole course. I want you to know something. I can visually in my mind think of names of people that at that point in time I would have liked to have strangled. But they are brothers and sisters in Christ. And it was a mess. And on the other side, people have come up to me and gone, "How in the world do you still even talk to them?" If I see them in a restaurant, I go shake their hands. Go tell them how much I love them. I do love them. It was a mess. But they're a brother and sister in Christ. We're on the same team. It did not work out the way we wanted it to work out. Was I at fault? Probably so to some degree. Were they at fault? Probably so to a lot of degree. But we're both going to be at home one day. And I want it said of both of us, well done, good and faithful servant. Our job is to take this, learn from it, move forward. Mount Salem, take this, learn from it, move forward. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for the blessings of our lives. Father, I thank you for life experiences. Our ministry, our calling is all based upon who you are and how you work in our lives. You work differently in each one of our lives. Some of us have experienced extreme physical pain. Some of us have experienced extreme emotional pain, the things that we've had to go through. Some of us have experienced great relational upheaval in our lives because relationships have been broken that were very, very close to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you will heal us from all of that. Help us to see how that's not made to immobilize us. It's made to help us rely upon you more and to step back and to allow you to work. Father, I pray that you will heal us. I pray that you'll heal this congregation. Father, I pray that you will continue to heal me. And Lord, as we move together, help us to not look behind with animosity, but to look forward and overcome adversity. Help us to remain on the same page. Thank you again for your word and for the fact that you speak to us on a daily basis in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing. Guess what? I'm